find out more about your dental health, visit ADA online at ada.org.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Okay, you know, first of all, I just wasn't believing that was the voice of a cat. You didn't sell it to me. I think we can do better. But, yeah, adopt a cat today. It's probably the best thing you'll ever do. Other than listening to WUSB Stony Brook, where it's 6 o'clock time once again for Off the Wall. Well, it's another Tuesday evening, another edition of Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Of course, yes, it's me.
It is you, and we are in the middle of all sorts of things. Boy, the world is going crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought we were getting back to normal, but it's it's quite the contrary. It's back to, a bit of everything abnormal.
Yeah, it is at that. I don't know where to begin. There's just so many things happening both in this country and in other countries. The whole Brexit thing we can get into. But, you know, the shutdown is something I think we should focus on, first of all, primarily. Because we actually know people that are affected by this. We have friends that are federal employees and on many levels.
Yeah, quite a few people out there, I'm sure other listeners have people in their proximity, friends, family, whom, if they don't directly work for the government, maybe they have friends and people in their household that are going through some of the impacts that the government shutdown has had. And maybe it's not affecting you at all personally. You're just fine. You don't have any dealings with any of these agencies
or
anything.
Not that you know of. It is affecting you.
Yeah, it's affecting you. Yeah, you might not. Exactly. I don't want to make it sound like it's not going to impact every single person in this country, because that is the reality of what it actually means. But as people start realizing just how vast an impact this kind of thing has, I think the first sign is, you know, wow, you know, some of their friends, some of their family members and people they know are really hurting. You're seeing news stories and pieces on ways to help out and these kinds of calls to action. And you got to think, okay, yeah, so this isn't just an airport. This isn't just a couple people in a union or here or there. It's everywhere, and it's upon us. Unlike snow, we haven't had a lot of snow, but it is a bitter cold.
Yeah, don't get me started on the lack of snow. That's really upsetting to me, because we had this cold snap, gets really really cold, and it's dry, and then it gets warm, and all of a sudden that's when the rain comes, and then it happens again a second time.
It's a spiteful. It's a spiteful weather pattern, and it's really not producing much in the way of what we would expect winter to be. I think we're at less than an inch of snowfall so far.
Yeah, well, and that was in November, I think, when we got that. But and you weren't here for that. That was a fun day. But anyway, let's not get totally sidetracked. We're talking about the shutdown. At least we're beginning by talking about the shutdown. It's affecting 800,000 workers right now, 800,000 federal workers who are not getting paid, who haven't gotten paid for the last few weeks. It's been a month, 32 days now? It's insane. It's insane. And no end in sight. And
that starts affecting your actual heating, right?
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. Because you can't pay for certain things. It's not like everything is put on hold. It's not like your creditors will say, "Oh, okay, you know, you're furloughed or you're, on suspension because of this idiocy, so you don't have to pay us." No, they're not like that. You do have to pay them. And what do people do when they have a mortgage? What do people do when they have car payments or other expenses? There are so many other expenses that people have that need to be taken care of. And to just cast these people aside as if they don't matter, as if they're just expendable. That, to me, that's the real crime.
Yeah, they're starting to have to make decisions. I know I mentioned TSA. Apparently a lot of the call-outs from that agency are due to people not being able to afford the transportation to get themselves to go in and work a job that they're not actually going to get paid for or will not be paid until the end of the shutdown. And different combinations of that stuff. You're starting to kind of hear murmurs that the positions and the things that are essential to government are starting to become really pressing, and you know, bits and pieces of different agencies are trying to get some coverage, some people call back, trying to negotiate different things. You're seeing a little bit in the House and the Senate, which is all great. It's they're good gestures, they're good stories, but it's too slow, I think, for a lot of workers out there, and Yeah, I mean, and there's it's really hard to tell what's helpful, what isn't, and what kinds of choices and things government workers are facing, how they're navigating it. So we can only guess, really, from the outside, from the periphery.
Yes. Oh, we have actually a friend of ours. As we mentioned, we do know people that are affected by this. And bear with me here because I'm going to try and reach them on the telephone. And that doesn't always work out for me because kind of dialing blind here. And I'm going to try to get this onto the radio airwaves as quickly as possible. Okay.
Hey, y'all. We're the Coopers.
We're not home right now.
But you can leave a message.
And we'll call you back. I will not be calling you back. Unless you're Professor Proton, in which case I cannot believe I missed your call.
Okay, apparently I dialed the wrong number. I'm sorry. I don't know who I've reached. Sorry for the call there. Typical American family, sounds like. Let me try that again. I'm sorry, Kyle, could you kill some time while I figure out the phone?
Yeah, it sounds like academics. They said something about a professor, but I don't think that's related.
I think it was off campus. I'm pretty sure it was. Let me try again.
Well, anyway, I guess the point is to find out as much as possible. Find out what your friends and your family members might be going through. Reach out to people. It's good to check in. And that's something that we've been doing a little bit of and hearing different stories. And it's also something our listeners, if you've been going through anything like this, we would love to hear some of the stories, some of the things you've been going through, just to stay healthy and keep your households healthy. And I know that is not easy. So anyway, we are always open to letters. If you write us, otw@2600.com. And tell us your story. Tell us what's going on.
Is anybody on the phone?
Yeah, hello.
Oh, okay. okay. This is the person we're trying to reach.
Hey guys.
Oh, hey. Okay. We're going to refer to you as Mr. Furlough. Is that all right?
That's yeah. Yeah.
All right, Mr. Furlough. We're not going to reveal where you are, who you work for, except to say that you work for the federal government and you have been furloughed since. Since when?
Forever.
I gotta say, you have a pretty good phone connection, so you haven't really lost out on that level.
Not yet.
Anyway. I'd like to know what your cell phone carrier is, actually. That's pretty damn good. Tell us, is what we've been saying so far, assuming you've been able to hear the stream, accurate? You're basically not expected to do anything except wait, and you're not getting any kind of payment, right?
Wait to get a call back, yep.
Wait to get a call back. And, you can just go out and get another job, can't you?
Not really. We got to get called, when we get the call back, we got a limited amount of time to report back.
What does that mean?
Well, it means we got a limited amount of time. If they, we can't really go on a vacation anywhere, because if you get called back, you got to report to duty.
Okay, but, they tell you, come back, next Wednesday or something? You can go take a trip to Florida or something? What's the big deal? It sounds like a perfect time to take a vacation.
If I had the money, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But well, no, I could have went, on a vacation somewhere and take a ride if I had the money. But if they call me back, I would have, some places might have 4 hours to report back, or you got to report back.
Wait. Hold on a second, Mr. Furlough. Sorry to interrupt, but 4 hours, that's all you get?
So it's different places have different time things.
Okay, so some places might be 4 hours, some places might be 8 hours. That's kind of crazy to expect you to just be literally waiting by your phone. I assume that's how they contact you, by the phone?
By the phone, yeah.
Wow, what if you have to disconnect the phone because you can't pay the phone bill?
That might happen, actually.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, on that subject, a lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. So what happens, this keeps dragging on, say, for another month without getting too depressed. What are we looking at as far as what happens to you at that point?
Trouble. Start not paying bills.
Okay.
already took off the automatic withdrawals from the other bills.
Right.
Because, you know, food comes first.
Uh-huh. On that subject, are there any places that you can go to get things? You know, I don't want to say handouts, but donations or...
Yeah, what kind of tips and tricks would you recommend other government employees? What have you found works just to get through the day-to-day?
Social media.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a lot of things are being handed out, you know, information handed out on social media.
Uh-huh. I see you got a kid there. That's... a lot of trouble, you know, to keep that going for sure. And I imagine a lot of federal workers do have families to support and all kinds of hungry mouths to feed. And I've heard reports that there are, stores and businesses. I know here locally I've heard of a few that are giving people sometimes, you know, I have to wonder, you know, it's nice to get a free cup of coffee, but is that really what you need? You know, what is it that people need?
Yeah, all that free stuff is great. It's fantastic that they're doing it, but then you got to realize you got to spend gas to get there. But there's places like Sassy Salads out in Shoreham.
Sassy Salads in Shoreham. Okay,
yeah,
that's a tongue twister. What are they offering?
Bagels.
Okay,
like a dozen bagels, cream cheese, and butter. It was great. They were really nice.
That's good.
Rocky Point had that Italian market, Del Fiore.
I've heard of that. That's fairly new, right?
Family-owned market in Broadway.
And what are they offering?
Free food. You know, they gave us a ravioli dinner with the sauce and the bread, and they were really nice. Then there's other places. If you go on, like, Facebook, people pass around things.
Mm-hmm.
There was... what is that? Lake Ronkonkoma, Island Empanadas.
Okay.
They gave out free meal. You just got to show your ID, your government ID.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it's very helpful, and they were very nice.
Are there any giveaways, donations that kind of miss the mark at all? Because I've been hearing some reports of those. And you don't have to be specific if you don't want to humiliate anybody on the air, but this may be the basic idea.
I don't. Are you talking about the Tanger Outlet gift certificate?
Well, I could be. Okay, yeah. Let's talk about that then. Tanger Outlet. Well, that's out by Riverhead, I believe.
Way out in Riverhead.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you have the gas to drive out there, you can get government employees can get a $20 gift certificate to Tanger Shops.
And what can you get for $20 in Tanger Shops?
Probably nothing.
Okay, well, that's definitely something that misses the mark.
Maybe like half a pack of tube socks.
Yeah,
or something.
That's like Rolls Royce giving you like $50 off in the next car to help out the federal workers. It doesn't really help. It's a nice gesture, but we got to think of what could actually help. I'm thinking right now when you're talking about not having the gas to get places. How about free gas? You know, people who run gas, I don't know how gas stations work. You probably can't do this for some reason. But maybe the fuel companies can step in. They certainly make enough money. And give federal workers a free tank of gas. That would go a long way, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What else? Wish list here. Come on, Mr. Furlow. We're here to grant your wishes.
The food is great. Everyone's being real generous with the food offers you got in... Patchogue, that church there in Patchogue on Main Street, they run a food pantry there.
Okay.
And they're really nice. I think they know you guys at the radio station.
They probably do. Most churches know about us for one reason or another.
No, they have, like, people play at the church.
Oh, okay, yeah, that too. Okay, good.
From the music scene, yeah, that's a great great connection, yeah. Too, yeah, to have.
It would be great to have the heating bills put on hold.
Okay, so local heating companies, maybe you could, for the federal employees, put it on hold for a little bit, and say you can pay us when you get back to work. And since we know at some point you're going to get back to work, I think that's a fairly good guarantee. How about credit card companies? You know, maybe they could stop with the late fees and credit charges for people that are affected by this?
I suppose. Yeah, I don't have a credit card.
Okay, well, that probably makes it a lot easier.
But imagine paperwork and keeping up with that stuff, including like rent and landlords. It becomes a mess for different situations people are in.
Mm-hmm. Phone companies, are you listening? T-Mobile, Sprint, Verizon, AT&T. You guys, let people keep their phones. Hold off on the payments until they start getting paid. It's only fair. And you guys certainly have enough to cover your expenses for the interim. That would certainly help you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. You see, we're trying to make life a little bit easier here, just by coming up with ideas, at least. What else can you think of that would really take the burden off?
Well, one thing that's been really helpful, especially with kids, is the libraries, local libraries.
Yeah. The fact that they exist. Absolutely.
The fact that they exist and that the librarians are so knowledgeable about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, library is an overlooked resource.
Librarian is always your friend when it comes to matters of justice. So I'm sure you can find many a sympathetic ear as long as you're not too loud in telling your story.
Yeah.
And have you had any other conversations with some of your colleagues? Or what's the mood overall? I mean, I guess that's kind of a rhetorical question. I mean, I'm sure it's not a lot of good stuff.
Everyone's mood depends on how much money they had in the bank before this happened.
Got it. Okay, so it varies, and people are just basically wondering when to get back to work, but other than that...
Anyone thought it would be this long.
You know, it'd be nice. Okay. Here's my idea. If banks, and they have a lot of money, if they're aware of your paycheck coming in every week or two... how about they just give you that every week or two with the understanding that when you get back to work, you'll pay them back? Would that, something like that work for you?
yeah, but that ain't happening.
Well, it's not happening because no one's come forward and done it, but it certainly could happen. And what a nice gesture that would be, and it would cause us to maybe not hate banks so much, you know? So it's worth considering.
Hmm.
Mr. Furlough, is this the first you've been through a shutdown before? You said this is something people hadn't imagined it would be this long. Well, what's the experience been so far or in the past for you with these kinds of things?
It's been, just a couple of days here and there, nothing, definitely not this long.
Does the longer it go, does that affect your work just generally for government employees? It take a lot longer to get back to where they were when they left off? I mean, I know that's kind of obvious too, but just seems like something this long is going to be, it's going to take a while to write, even when people are getting their paychecks. I know that's the biggest thing at this point, though.
Oh, you mean like the first day back at work?
Is that going to be just
a nightmare?
Everybody's going to be...
Nightmare of figuring out passwords and, are swipe cards still on and...
What to prioritize.
Yeah. It's gonna be chaos.
Well, and I imagine it's kind of chaos right now because without people there, what's happening at various facilities? There's all kinds of security issues. I imagine that nobody's dealing with.
I suppose. Some people are being called back in unpaid status to do certain work.
Also, there are people. What's the difference between your furlough, which means you basically are told not to come in, but there are other people who are told to come in, but you're all not getting paid, right?
They're still not getting paid.
So what's the difference? They just have to work and you don't.
Yeah, and they can't collect unemployment.
Okay, hold on a second. So you can collect unemployment because you're not reporting to work, but if you're called in to report to work, you don't get paid, but because you're working, you can't collect unemployment. That's what you're telling us.
That's what I heard. I don't know if that's New York only or...
Wow. Okay. Well, that is insane if it's at all true. I've heard similar stories where people aren't allowed to look for another job because if they catch wind of that, then you'll get fired even though you're not getting paid, and you could lose all kinds of benefits in the future, pensions, things like that, and people are afraid of this. Let me ask you, what is it that keeps people from just simply having massive demonstrations and getting extremely angry and outspoken? Is there a reason people don't do that?
I guess it's kind of cold out.
Okay. Yeah, these things tend to happen in the winter.
So Well, who wants to go out and demonstrate in the cold?
If it were warmer, do you think people would be out there?
Maybe.
I don't know. You know, they say 10% of the TSA employees, and I'm not saying you're one of them or not, but 10% of them are not reporting to work because they're considered essential, so they're called in. But if say, 50% of them or more didn't show up for work, I think this would end very quickly because you can't not have TSA employees. You can't not have air traffic controllers. There are certain groups of people that absolutely are essential, and if they just stop showing up, you have a real crisis.
Yeah.
We were talking about this before, actually. Kyle and I were talking about the air traffic controller situation back in, I believe, 1981 when Reagan fired them all for going on strike.
Everyone who striked was fired.
Yeah, but if you, I mean, is it considered a strike if you're not getting paid?
I don't know.
I think it's interesting to think about political power. I know government employees generally are considered apolitical, but in this context, it seems like were they to unify in this way, they'd have more political power than ever. It just happens to be they were not choosing this fight at all.
Can I also bring up something else? It might be a little bit uncomfortable, but you're not working right now. You're on furlough, so basically you're. I mean, you spend the days, what, basically just pacing back and forth or going to the library, anything else?
Going to the library, doing house stuff.
Uh-huh. And when you, the thought is when you do get called back, you'll get the back pay, correct?
Right. Yeah, usually. Yeah.
So you're getting paid to not work, and the taxpayers are paying that. Not to make you feel guilty, but the taxpayers are paying you to do nothing. You know, and that doesn't seem right, is it?
It's not right all around.
Uh-huh. So, you know, when people say it doesn't affect them, this is how it affects them, because you're paying for services that you're not getting. And we're expected to just take that.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to stay calm. And Mr. F, it really is. It's good to hear that you're hanging in there throughout this. And well, obviously, if there's anything we can help with at the radio station here, and we'll check in, I'm sure, make sure you guys are still doing okay over there. And
yeah, brainstorm, think of ways that people can help. If you were able to talk to our listeners, which obviously you're able to do right now, what would you ask of them? How can they help? How can individual listeners with no special connections help in situations like this?
I guess next time vote sensibly.
Okay, well, there's that. But I meant, is there anything specifically to help people like you? Because people like you are everywhere, 800,000 of you right now, maybe more. Is there something that, little things that we might not think of that would make your life easier?
I just keep supporting the food pantries and all the volunteer stuff. Those are, consolidate all that and let the professionals who do that all the time.
Okay. And
they know how to do it.
The food pantries, you mentioned one that was in a church. I imagine
Pastor Dwight was his name.
Pastor Dwight. Okay. Well, I'm sure there's many other organizations and people that are involved in this.
Yeah. Social media has been great. You know, Facebook, all the stuff being passed around.
Yeah, just be careful you don't get victimized by a Russian bot and send food to the wrong place. And basically ask people you trust, talk to each other, figure out ways, get together with your friends and figure out ways to help. Because we all know people that are affected by this. You might not think you do, but you do. Well, Mr. Furlow, our deepest sympathies for what you're going through. Just know that you have our support. And again, please keep in touch. You're welcome to come back on these airwaves anytime and give us updates and let us know what you need.
All right.
Thanks. Thanks for answering the phone.
Yeah.
And that is our friend who we're referring to as Mr. Furlow at an undisclosed location. Wow. Well, what do you think, Kyle?
Well, I think it's pretty powerful stuff. You can hear it in his voice. Is definitely doesn't want to be in a predicament, and it's good to hear the story and hear firsthand what that's like. I can't imagine going through that, and in the middle of winter like this, and my heart goes out to it. And a big thanks to all those volunteers and people donating and offering different deals. Keep them coming. Keep talking. And also write in, as I suggested earlier. We'd love to hear more stories. And check in. Check in with your friends and family. Make sure people you know are doing all right, especially in the face of this. And perhaps they've got friends and family, too, that are going through the same thing.
I just don't get how you can expect people to take this. You know, it seems we're so patient as a country. And this is what I point out when we travel. You know, people ask what the good things about America are. Well, I don't know if this is really good. It is one of our attributes that we're so patient, and in many ways we are. Think about it. We see the demonstrations in Paris. We see the demonstrations throughout the world when things happen, when people get upset, when people get impatient. We see violence. We see all sorts of outrage. And here, it's just basically you wait until you vote. And that's something that, I don't know if it's enough. You know, I think we need to get more outrage. We need to be in the streets. We need to be saying enough already. We're not going to take this. Just today, Supreme Court upheld Trump's ban on transgender military members. They say temporarily while it works its way through the courts. I'm not really sure what that means. I thought the Supreme Court was pretty much the end of it, but apparently there are more fights ahead. But the fact is, it was a 5-4 decision. It's a stolen Supreme Court seat. We're being hijacked here. Our democracy is being hijacked. Things are happening that should not be happening. That seat should not be in the hands of that drunkard, sex abuser guy. But he's the one who decided this today. And as a result, now a lot less people have rights that they deserve. We have this shutdown where nearly a million people are not being paid and expected to work and not complain about it, while the people that put them there just go about their daily business as if it doesn't matter at all. No, we need to be upset about this. We need to be storming buildings. We need to be mobbing the streets. We need a general strike so that people feel the pain, the right people feel the pain. It's nice to be cordial and pleasant and patient, but sometimes it doesn't serve you. And I think right now, it's one of those times.
I think also it's about sticking our necks out a little bit. I think people are reluctant to challenge the status quo or the powers that be, whatever you want to call something that deserves to be countered. We just have this reluctance thinking that someone else is going to go and do the work. It doesn't always happen. It doesn't pan out like that. You've got to face these things. And retirement age changes in France and people are in the streets.
It changes years from now. They propose a change years from now.
Exactly.
They raise the fuel a little bit and people are, you know, you have your yellow vest people out there that won't go away. Even after the government is basically giving them what they want, they still won't go away. Well, I don't think we need the yellow vest here, but we need something. We need something that is challenging our status quo. And, you know, I even heard it in the voice of Mr. Furlow that, you know, kind of a reluctance to get out there and express anger and outrage and insist on what you are due. People, you are owed so many things. You are owed a good education. You are owed health care. You are owed a place to live. These are basic human rights. And when you're convinced that they're not, you're basically buying into this crap that the people already have all that have. You know, that they have all these basic human rights. They take it for granted. They don't want to share that. They don't want other people to assume they have the right to good things as well. They want people to be constantly struggling and fighting with each other. And, you know, as long as they have that, they are secure in their high rises and rich way of living. It's disgusting, and we have to say enough already. We have to stand up for what is ours. We supposedly live in a rich country. It's not that rich compared to other countries that Kyle and I have visited recently, where, you know, people are taken care of, where if you get sick, you can get health care, you don't lose your home as a result, where there's mass transit that's maintained. You know, Mr. Furlow mentioned Riverhead before. We were actually in Riverhead today. We were walking around Riverhead. We had business out there. It's not related to anything.
I just said to you when we were drinking a coffee, I was like, this country's rough around the edges.
Let's not give out too much personal information here. Okay, yeah, we drank a coffee in Riverhead. You don't know how many coffees we drank. You don't know where we drank it. You don't know how quickly we drank it, all right? So you might as well not even bother trying to figure out more, because we're not going to tell you. But what I will tell you is that we walked over to the train station in Riverhead. They have a train station there. And we saw a train, because they basically have like three trains a day, in I think, each direction. This is probably the least used train line on Long Island. You would think Riverhead. I think the capital of Suffolk County. That's a fact nobody knows.
Sure.
It's basically, you know, it's where the Supreme Court is, although I understand Supreme Court there is like the lowest court. I don't
totally
understand
believable.
How that works. But, okay, so Riverhead, it's a big town. It's a big
center
town.
Of the known Brookhaven universe.
You'd think there'd be more mass transit, but there, you know, it's pathetic. We were walking around. We went to this train station. We wanted to see the train go by. And, boy, this thing hobbles into the station 15 minutes late. It's coming from Ronkonkoma. Ronkonkoma to Riverhead, there's not much there. How do you get 15 minutes late?
It's already out in the middle of the island, basically.
Yeah, it really is. So this three-car train hobbles into the station at about 3 miles an hour.
No, it was two cars.
You're right, two
an
cars.
An engine on each side.
Two engines, an engine on one side, an engine on the other side, and two cars.
Which is
overkill.
Oh, yeah. Those diesel engines probably could have powered half of Riverhead.
You've got this ridiculous announcement that keeps cycling, playing from some guy in the island who's saying, we're all on the same team. Well, you know what? We're not all on the same team, because the next announcement is a guy from the Knicks. And that's a different team. So right away, it's the dumbest thing you could possibly say. But then the announcement stops playing audio and just plays a video text message. As if the guy is texting you on a screen saying, hi, this is so-and-so from the Islanders. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
It's for hearing-impaired people who didn't get the message from whatever team member.
Okay, but you know what? Hearing-impaired or not, that's not the guy typing that. So you can't say that. It's that just gets me.
There's just so much incongruent. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. There's no cohesion. And it's like, I think this is the root problem of our like individualism in this country, that, oh, yeah, we're all on the same team, but it's team chaos and frenzy.
If only it was chaos and frenzy. There's not enough, basically, to light a match. It's just so slow and so decrepit. Don't we deserve better than this?
And isn't the shelter there just a shelter on the raised platform?
Dude,
and they have an entire
There are
building.
bigger bus shelters on the campus of the State University of New York at Stony Brook right here than the Riverhead train station shelter. And if you don't believe me, go out and look for yourself. Bring a measuring tape, and you'll see bigger bus shelters on campus than a train shelter in the county capital. And
yeah,
that's pathetic. From one of the richest countries on earth? I don't think so. No, that would not fly in Germany.
And they built that shelter because it's raised, so it's at the height of the doors that open. But the building, the original train station building, is lower. It's
mm-hmm.
on the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of refurbishing and like making stairs to go up to a platform in front of that, no, they just close that, build a little wind platform with a little LED sign that's 20 years old, and call it good. That's our first world transportation system.
Go on to YouTube, all right, and just, you know, watch Dutch trains, watch German trains. If you really have, you know, a lot of self-confidence, watch Japanese trains, because you will feel so small when you see what they are doing, how they work, how fast they go. And then look at what we have out here and ask yourself, can't we do better than that? You know, there's a reason people don't ride trains as much in this country. Although the LIRR has more riders, I think, this year than last year than ever before. But there are so many other places where it could be doing a much better job.
It's not integrated.
It's so slow and old and it's just not maintained well.
Not integrated either. That's the other word. I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry. I get impassioned with this discussion. But like in the outskirts of cities in Europe, we would notice these trains that are diesel powered, but they look like modern light rail cars.
Uh-huh.
They're usually made by Skoda, or Siemens, or Siemens, whatever local industrial group is there. And they look like space buses, like the new buses that are in New York City,
mm-hmm.
but they're diesel-powered, and they have, like, an open plan. So, like, the combination of all the different new trains we've seen in different places, and, oh, by the way, they don't use electricity, they don't need a third rail or overhead anything, because they're diesel-powered.
Right.
So they're basically, like, having a brand-new bus on rails that is completely updated and integrated for whatever regional route that it does. Some of them even have ticket machines on the thing. We described that last week, the train that we got on the border with Poland and Germany. That was that type of train. It was basically a regional diesel train.
I think that was more because that went a good distance. But what you're describing, though, we've noticed this many, many stations in Germany and now in Poland as well because they've expanded quite a bit. You take your intercity train, you get off at the train station, and then there's a little tiny mini local train that will take you to local spots within that town. Imagine that. Imagine Port Jefferson having that. Imagine Stony Brook having that, where you get off the train and you get on a little tiny train that takes you to campus, say, or maybe to some other part of Stony Brook or the Three Village area. You know, that kind of thing happens in the rest of the world, and we don't even know it exists.
And it doesn't have to be – the point I'm making chiefly is that it doesn't have to be one or the other – type of rolling stock. So, and I just don't buy it. If somebody tells you, oh, well, you know, LIRR, the rail out here has to be a certain type of freight train with pulling these kind of cars
mm-hmm.
for this kind of capacity. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Yeah, maybe a main line could be one thing. You could have a different line being another thing. Maybe north-south is an entirely different thing. And then, yeah, maybe some of these little towns and cities could have ultralight or some kind of electric rail system to get people to the train station that is hopefully a little bit more substantial than nothing. So, I mean, it is this idea that we have to have a very linear budget and we're just going to put rail down, we're just going to run these trains, and that's going to be it, and it'll mm-hmm. be like that for 50 years.
50 years? Try 100 years.
100 years. It'll be the same cars, the same engines. We're not going to change it a darn thing about it,
uh-huh.
let alone put in maps or any kind of, like, GPS or some way to give you an accurate time when the thing is going to arrive. It just seems so stilted. And, like, in these outer towns, you have overkill in on the one hand, and then other high occupancy
and
areas.
Counterintuitive too. For instance, you know, they when we were in Riverhead before, they kept announcing that this train will be arriving on track one, platform A, you know, and it says 1A on the screen. You know, there's only one track. There's only one platform. You don't even have to say that. It's obviously going to arrive on that particular platform on that particular track. It's just, you know, things like that they belabor the point over and over again as if there are 50 tracks and you have to keep track, no pun intended. And the thing is, it is late anyway. It's sad. It's almost funny, but it's not.
No. And right. For us, this is a euphemism. It's a metaphor for our infrastructure as a whole in the nation, in the state, out here on Long Island. Maybe even on campus. I don't know. Stony Brook's doing all right. But suffice to say, we're joining you in a solid of a furlough of our own. Maybe it's in solidarity. Maybe it's just from having that sense of when will it stop? That uncertainty.
Like we're all
I think.
Furloughed in one way or another with what's been going on. Although, you know. Good news, we're over the hump. The Trump days, there are more behind us now than ahead of us, assuming the unthinkable doesn't happen in 2020. So that's good. That happened yesterday on Martin Luther King Day. So that means something to me. So I was happy that that happened. But, you know, we should talk about that other news event, the morons from Kentucky.
The kids with the hats.
The kids with the hats, okay. The MAGA hat kids.
My big thing with this whole story is that hat, that symbol,
uh-huh.
How is that actually doing what it says it's about? Because I'm not seeing it.
I'm not seeing
the greatness.
Uh-huh.
It's a nice branding and all that, and it seems to be getting mileage, but it's being known for a lot less than making things great, I got to say.
Yeah, well, greatness, I guess, is in the eye of the beholder, yeah. And they're beholding something that we wish to turn away from.
Can't relate.
But, you know, regardless of what hat you're wearing or what you politically believe in, this whole situation, in case you don't know what we're talking about the situation where a Native American group basically was met by a couple of hundred high school kids from Kentucky who are in Washington, D.C. on Friday to attend an anti-abortion rally. Now, okay, right away, I've got a couple of issues here. Why is an all-boys school sending buses of students to anti-abortion rallies in Washington, D.C.? What in God's name do teenage boys have to do? I mean, obvious, apart from the fact of, you know, making it necessary in the first place in many instances. But the issue of abortion is a woman's issue. It's a private issue. It's not something that you need a football team to come down and express an opinion one way or another. Of course, everybody has an opinion, but I mean, think about what that means, that you're sending all boys schools to rallies in Washington, D.C. to insist that women not have the right to choose abortion. It's, you know, is that something that you think is right? You know, so right away, I've got this problem with that. Then you had the situation where, you know, they wound up facing off against this this one particular person who was basically beating a drum. In fact, he was on Amy Goodman's show right before this one. The filming of that is what captured the attention of the world, because this one kid just had this smirk on his face as the guy was beating the drum and clearly was standing in his path, and the guy couldn't get any further, was surrounded by all these jeering kids. You know, I have some mixed feelings on this because, you know, a part of me says these kids really need a lesson in life and need to learn something about respect, particularly Native Americans, particularly elders, particularly veterans, people like that. That are not harming them in any way. And another part of me says kids are being kids. They're being stupid. They're being loud. They're basically acting the way a gang of kids acts. And the word gang, the word mob, is something that should be taken seriously because that is the mentality that was on display there. Now, you can say, oh, that's not what happened at all. But, you know, all you have to do is look at the video. I don't care which video you look at. I know there's a lot of them. I don't know why somebody was taping this for hours, but somebody apparently was. Doesn't make a difference. You know, you still had that face-off. You still had that mentality. You still had those words. And, yeah, I'm aware of the Hebrew Israelites or whatever they're called that were shouting all kinds of offensive things. They're a bunch of morons, I think. And it's interesting that that's not the group that the high school kids were facing off against. They were facing off against the peaceful people that were simply beating a Native American drum and chanting, mocking them, jumping up and down, making all kinds of noises, tomahawk, all kinds of offensive things going on. That is something that is wrong. Now, I don't think the kids should be, expelled. I don't think the kids should be shamed. I don't think the kids should even have their information spread around because they were basically being taught by somebody that this is okay. They need to learn that's not okay. They need to take responsibility. They should meet with the people and have a public dialogue because they've thrust themselves into that position. But unfortunately, that's not what we're getting. We're getting doubling down, thanks to people like Trump, who basically are backing up their actions 100%, and refusal to say they did anything wrong. So now we have a problem. Now we have basically another Charlottesville situation where all these people are being hateful and ignorant and not realizing that they're being hateful and ignorant.
Yeah, I don't know where to start. I think also the reasons for being there in the first place are from the anti-choice lobby needing them to be the next generation that kind of carries a lot of water for them. And it's, I think, it's sort of a men's empowerment thing of reclaiming some perceived erosion of their male identity and pro-life's right there to serve up this this sort of twisted empowerment.
White males not being represented enough, is that a problem? Is that something that they really need to feel emboldened to go down and express their strong opinions in a situation like this? I mean, I'm sure there are issues that do affect them, but abortion rights, is that really their place?
They want to train them so that when they're in college and they're, you know, doing whatever they are with the opposite sex or whatever comes up as new adults, that, you know, they've got a direct line to whomever is going to help them bring life into the world, and whether that's their pastor or their parents or whomever. But I think that college and growing up has a little bit different way of dealing with people that think they know how they'll handle that situation. But anyway, so the idea is to train them to be ready for new adulthood and be firmly on board with this anti-choice movement. And I think also that the age group, like them not having chaperones or anything, like they're essentially on a field trip, a field trip that is to a protest or to express their beliefs in the nation's capital, but
it's not a protest when it's in line with our current regime. You know, it's more like a rally in support of that crowd.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's not a protest. It's a protest for beliefs that this administration firmly does not support. So it's a big sort of rally of support, show of support for the current administration and evangelical, whatever, Christian right, and their initiatives, their platform, right? You know, their agenda as such. And the age group that is there is really, I think, by being in this mob and, like, surrounding individuals who are expressing their right to speech and to assemble, as you said, I think really this catalyst of pounding the chest and I don't know. I just think it's that point in life when juniors in high school can be as aggressive as they will be. There's a lot of seeking approval from the peers and that kind of thing. So the age group for them to behave like a mob and not really be thinking as individuals and you know, how they're treating other people, it made them really susceptible to this looking bad. And as was said on the previous program by the Native American person who was drumming there, that it had echoes of previous photos and situations we've seen of white youth surrounding the other and threatening in a threatening way like this.
Well, I want to read just a little bit from the statement of Nick Sandman, who's the kid that was staring down the Native American drummer. And it's really amazing. You have, within the last year, you've had basically two ends of the spectrum, people like David Hogg and Parkland, and then you have, on the other end of the spectrum, Nick Salmon from this Covington Catholic High School. Basically, people get it and people who so don't get it. But basically what he said is, when we arrived, we noticed four African-American protesters who were also on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. I am not sure what they were protesting, did not interact with them, and I did hear them direct derogatory insults at our school group. First of all, what I'm reading is, I'm pretty sure, not written by this kid. I'm pretty sure it's written by a lawyer or by some PR firm or who knows what. But notice four African-American protesters who, by all accounts, were hurling insults at the students, over 200 of them. So you have, you know, you outnumbering them quite a bit, but didn't interact with them at all. Instead, you chose to interact with the peaceful person who was simply beating a drum and who represented Native Americans who really have had kind of a rough deal in this country. Maybe something that you would want to learn about. Basically, this whole piece is just this unapologetic excuse for what it is that they did basically saying that they didn't do all kinds of things that it sure looked like they were doing.
Highly sanitized.
Yeah, it really was. I believe that by remaining motionless and calm, I was helping to defuse the situation. Okay, first of all, there are pictures of this kid, and right before that, not being motionless and calm, jeering, you know, the other people, acting like a kid. And that's something I think we shouldn't forget. They are acting like kids, but they're acting like stupid kids. And there's no adult supervision. There's no adult guidance. And this is what you get when you have leadership that encourages this kind of thing. Unfortunately, they have to carry the weight of that. What they are not learning is by doubling down and saying that they didn't do anything wrong, that they were simply standing there motionless and trying to calm down the situation. Yeah, that's not how you calm down a situation. It really is not. There are so many ways you can deal with that. You outnumber these people by so many. It's a shameful display. Unfortunately, I don't see this getting better. I don't see this getting at all better because they're being treated as heroes now by the right wing.
And even there's been reports that they're alleged to be threatened. You know, now they're claiming to be victims, which is like that is like so straight out of Trump's playbook. Not at all a surprise. But I think the willful ignorance about indigenous people's history and abuse by settlers in this country is really the salient point to take home here. And I really wonder where the chaperones were in all of this and why they weren't structuring their time in Washington. Lots of young people go to Washington D.C. Lots of young people go to Washington D.C. to support the Christian right or whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know, that maybe aren't something that we're all aligned with necessarily.
Okay, we only have a minute left, but as far as we're talking about how the chaperones weren't there, first of all, the chaperones were there, they just weren't doing anything. But what should they have done? What I think they should have done was first of all, ignore the people that were hurling insults at them. There were only four of them. There's 200 of you. You can ignore them pretty well. When the music started, engage the people. Say, who are you? What do you represent? Tell us about yourself. Something like that, instead of shouting over them, mocking them, intimidating them. And you know, we all know what intimidation is. It's like when Trump was standing behind Hillary Clinton during the debate, you know, lurking over her. He's not doing anything wrong. He's on stage like he's supposed to be. But that is a clear intimidation tactic. And if you really are insisting that is not the case, you're either intentionally blind or you're just basically trying to manipulate the conversation to get to a particular point. This was wrong. This is something that needs to be acknowledged. I am not in favor of castigating these kids and having death threats and shutting down their school or anything bad like that. And there are a lot of people out there that do that kind of thing, and they are wrong too. They absolutely are wrong. But if they cannot, these kids cannot admit that what they did was mob mentality, it was, stupid, and they want to move on, they want to have a dialogue, they want to become better people. If they can't do that, then they never will become better people, and our judgment of them will stand as it is, unfortunately.
Yeah, it would have probably gone a long way for their message, too, to have chosen to find out about other people expressing their right there instead of antagonizing those individuals who had just as much of a right.
That's right.
Well,
we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. But you can write to us if you have questions about this or anything else we talked about tonight, suggestions for Mr. Furlow, otw@2600.com. We would love to hear from you. Finn is up next. We will be back next week with all kinds of other developments. Hopefully the shutdown will be over by then. Who knows? Maybe we'll all be shut down.
Or shut up.
Yeah. Well, we'll never shut up.
No, we won't shut up.
And if we do, somebody else will speak up instead. That's how it is. All right. For Off the Wall, Emmanuel and Kyle, have a good night.
Good night.
Get up and go.